Good morning and happy Sabbath. This is Charles Vance, your host for Living Word Podcast. We are in the series of John, In His Footsteps devotional series, 52 weeks in the Gospel of John. You can find it on Amazon. I'm going to post the link in my show notes. So thank you for joining us. Happy Sabbath. So this morning, we're going to continue in the prologue of John, and this is our third week, and we're going to focus on the Word become flesh. Now, normally I would read from the King James, and I use the King James because, again, it's commonly accepted, and also they use italics to show where they've added things. I like to know when somebody's put something in the Bible that wasn't in the original. But instead of reading from the King James this morning, I'm going to read from another translation. I'm going to read from the Restoration Scriptures, True Name, 6th edition, with study notes. And this is a set apart scriptures of the nation of Israel in restoration with the true names in Paleo Hebrew. Now, the true name of Yahweh, God, is Yahweh. Yah is the tetragrammaton, Yahweh, Yod He, Vav He. And the true name of Jesus is Yeshua. So, like I said, I don't make a big deal out of it. I'm not trying to foist anything on anyone. If you're very comfortable with the name of Jesus, it's a sacred and hallowed name, beautiful name. But it's not his name, not his true name. His true name is Yeshua, which is salvation, because that's what the angel told Mary the name would be. For Yeshua, Yeshia, he saves his people. Okay, so now I'm going to move on in. I'm going to read the prologue passage in John, the central theme of John, in that version I just said. And basically, this version is a little different, in that it inserts Hebrew words where appropriate. Bereshith was the Milta, the living Torah, and the living Torah was with Yahweh, and the living Torah was Yahweh. The same was in the beginning with Yahweh. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was Hayim, and the Hayim was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And there was a man sent from Yahweh, whose name was Yohanan, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the emet light, which lights every man that comes into the Olam Hazeh. He was in the Olam Hazeh, and the Olam Hazeh was made by him, and the Olam Hazeh knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahweh, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of Dom, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. And the living Torah was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we saw his Tifereth, the Tifereth as of the only brought forth of the Abba, full of unmerited favor and emet. And Yohanan bore witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of all his fullness, all we have received, unmerited favor upon unmerited favor. For the Torah was given by Moshe, its unmerited favor, and emet came from Yahweh, Yeshua the HaMashiach. No man has seen the Abba at any time, the only brought forth Son, who is in the bosom of the Abba, he has declared him. So those passages, that passage is the central theme. We've already covered it the previous 2 weeks. If you want to know what those are, read through the King James, you can go back to a previous episode. But again, reading from the prologue, it stands as a profound theological foundation for understanding the identity and mission of Jesus Christ. It is rich in imagery and concepts that echo not only throughout the gospel, but throughout Christian theology. So the word, logos, or in Hebrew, milta or milah. The opening, and this is the opening verses, they introduce the concept of the word, a term that loaded with meaning. In Greek philosophy, it referred to a principle of order and knowledge. For the Jewish audiences, it resonated with the idea of God's wisdom and creative power. John proclaims that the Word was with God in the beginning, and it was indeed God, participating in the act of creation, This establishes the divine nature of the Word and its eternal relationship with God. The light of men, verses 4 and 5. The Word is also the life and light of humanity. Imagery that contrasts the light with darkness. The light symbolizes truth, goodness, divine revelation. While darkness represents ignorance and evil, the light's victory over darkness is a motif of hope and salvation. And then John the Baptist in verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. John the Baptist is introduced as a witness to the light. His role is to testify about the light, the Word, so that all who might believe through him. And this section clarifies that John himself is not the light, but a preparer of the way for the God, for the Word of God and to the Word's reception among people. The true light, verses 9 through 13. The Word is described as the true light, coming into the world, enlightening every person. The tragedy of the Word's coming in that world, despite being made through the Word, did not recognize it. Yet to those who did receive the Word, believing in its name, it gave the right to become the children of God. And this passage highlights the themes of rejection and acceptance, darkness and light, and introduces the concept of spiritual rebirth. And then finally in verse 13, the Word became flesh. This verse is the climax of the prologue, stating that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This doctrine, known as the Incarnation, is central to Christian faith, indicating God's ultimate self-revelation and the manifestation of divine grace and truth in human form. John testifies to seeing the glory of the incarnate Word, a glory full of grace and truth, linking Jesus directly to the divine, directly to Yahweh. Grace and truth. The passage concludes by contrasting the law given through Moses with grace and truth coming through Jesus Christ. While the law was God's initial way of guiding his people, the coming of Jesus represents the fullest and most gracious revelation of God. The invisible God, whom no one has seen, is made known to us through Jesus, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart. Now there, again, are so many lessons we've covered. So this is our third week. So we had three lessons in the first week, three lessons in the second week. There'd be three lessons in this, nine lessons. And there's many more. But this week, we're going to talk about the divinity and incarnation of Jesus. So Jesus is the preexistent Word of God. He's fully divine, who became flesh to dwell among us. And this highlights both his eternal nature and his intimate connection with humanity. Embodying God's humility and love, the incarnation reveals God's desire to understand and redeem human life fully. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus as the revelation of God and light of the world. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God, making the invisible God known and accessible. He is the light of the world, overcoming the darkness of sin and revealing the truth of God's character and will. Through him, believers are called to live in the light, embracing and spreading his truth. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Salvation through Jesus, grace and truth. Salvation is found in receiving and believing in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of grace and truth. This contrasts the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Book of the Law, with the New Covenant of grace, unmerited favor, connecting us back to the Abrahamic Covenant, the unconditional covenant, highlighting that eternal life and a new identity as children of God come through a personal relationship with Jesus. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. For the book of the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. So now it's time, let's go into the questions for reflection and discussion. Reflect on the significance of referring to Jesus as the Word. How does this title inform our understanding of his role in creation and revelation? Well, we just said, the Word is Milah or Milta. It's everything. He's the living Torah. Jesus Christ is literally the living Bible. That's why this podcast is called Living Word. When you read the Word of God, every time you read it, there's an opportunity for new and fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit because it's a living book. It's not just some accumulation of letters. So what does the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, reveal about God's character and his intentions toward us? He loves us enough that he became a man. He entered this world through the womb of a woman and lived a perfect and sinless life in order to redeem us, to overcome the sin of Adam. And he did it perfectly. And he completed his mission, returned to the Father. He's seated at the right hand of God. And now he offers that salvation through his blood and the power of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. In what ways have you experienced the grace and truth of Jesus in your life? And how does this shape your relationship with God and others? I've experienced the grace and truth of Jesus Christ every day in my life. Every day that I get up and I pray to him and I ask for forgiveness and confess my sin and move forward in life, when we encounter tribulations and sorrows, we can turn to him and he comforts us. And he actually will shape your day for you if you walk in the light of his words and his work, if his commands, if you follow his commands, it'll keep you on a straight and narrow path. And so that's how it really shapes our relationship. And how it should shape our relationship with others is that we should reflect the light of Yeshua, his compassion, his care, less anger, less bitterness toward others, more of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. So consider the statement, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. How does this influence your understanding of his mission and purpose? Because he is God. His mission was to come to earth to restore his creation to him, which he has done. How does the theme of light overcoming darkness manifest in your personal life or community? Share examples of how believing in the light has changed perspectives and situations. You know, that's easy. The light represents the life of men. And Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, is that light within you. And the world is filled with darkness, the sin, the anger, the hatred, the turmoil, the tribulation. Everything that we deal with every day in life is dark. But the light of Jesus Christ overcomes it, and our life can be abundant. And it's not what you encounter, it's how you deal with it. It's how you react to it that matters. And if you have the Holy Spirit within, and you have the truth of Jesus Christ as a strong foundation, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Now, to finish off this week, I want to go with our suggested prayers. Again, if you have total comfort with praying to God and speaking to the Creator, and you have that intuitive ability, and you're just going to speak to him like you would, you know, your brother or your friend, your father, then great. That's what you should do. But I am going to insert these, or I'm going to have three model prayers, because some people may have a problem with it, or they may want to have some idea of better ways to pray, or just not, you know, more meaningful, something that's going to be more poetic, that we can get draw a little more meaning, a little more help for prayer. Now here's a suggested prayer for understanding and embracing the Word. Heavenly Father, eternal God, we stand in awe of your Word, Jesus Christ, who was with you in the beginning and is you. Help us to grasp the mystery and the majesty of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Open our hearts to the light of your Son, that we might not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Grant us the wisdom to understand the depth of your love and grace revealed through him, and the courage to lay out this truth in our daily lives. May we, through your Spirit, become a reflection of your light to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a prayer for experiencing the incarnation. Lord Jesus, incarnate Word, your coming into the world as flesh reveals the depths of God's love and desire to be known. We thank you for bridging the vast divide between humanity and divinity, making the invisible God visible to us. Teach us to treasure the reality of your incarnation, embracing its implications for how we see you, ourselves, and the world. May the truth of your grace and presence inspire us to live with compassion, humility, and love, following your example of servitude and sacrifice. Amen. Is a prayer for transformation and belief. Spirit of God, giver of life, in the beginning you hovered over the waters, and through your power the word was spoken into the darkness, creating light and life. Work within our hearts that we may receive Jesus, the true light, and become children of God. Transform us by the renewing of our minds and hearts, that we may truly believe and live out the truth of the gospel. Help us to hold firmly to the light and life you offer, that in believing we might have life in his name. Guide us each day, that our lives may testify to the grace and truth we have found in him. Amen. I hope and pray that these words have been helpful, that this will guide you into the truth, to finding Yeshua. And next week, we're going to move into a new set of passages, or the next set, which is John 1:19-51. And it's John the Baptist and the first disciples. And we're gonna talk about John the Baptist's testimony and his disciples and the multifaceted identity of Yeshua and the role of witness and testimony in faith. We'll have the questions for reflection and the suggested prayers. And my prayer is for you that you'll go forth this week and have a good week. I pray this in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.